Track 9.
Welcome back to the Sports Desk for this week's update. This is Brian Gall with the latest news locally and nationally. Rain played a part in the local cricket once again on Saturday. Starbridge in the Premier Division of the Worcester County League were one of the victims. They won their match, a bit of a local derby against Old Hill, but the number of overs bowled was reduced due to the weather, and so were the league points awarded for victory. That enabled Chadsley Corbett, second in the league table behind Starbridge and chasing them hard, to close the gap in the league table to only 7 points after they won easily against Starport. In the First Division, there was almost a complete washout for our four local teams. Only Pedmore managed a victory, and that was also in a match of reduced overs. Hagley, Belbroughton and Old Swinford all lost their matches. Old Swinford, the poorest of them, were all out for a mere 79 runs in their match against the league leaders Cornwall. So, all in all, a fairly disappointing day for local sports followers, not helped by the Starbridge football team losing for the first time in the league this season, 3-0 at home against Hednesford Town on Saturday. Bit of a reality check after they'd won their opening two league matches this season. Manager Ian Long was highly critical of his team's defensive display, especially in the first half of this match, and is demanding better when Glasboys next take to the field, an away fixture against St Ives this Saturday. Well, we'll see. My attention at the weekend was largely focused on the cricket, the second test match between England and Australia at Lord's. Weather disrupted, it still managed to be a gripping as England recovered from the drubbing they'd received in the first match a fortnight ago and nearly pulled off a surprise victory. Jofra Archer was the name on everyone's lips, England's new fast bowling sensation, from Barbados incidentally, who certainly ruffled a few Aussie feathers and concussed their star batsman Steve Smith. But it was not a lone effort. A fair number of the English 11 did creditably. Stokes with his second innings century, Burns, who seems to be growing into the role of opening batsman, Wokes, a really useful all-rounder. And the same 11 have been chosen for the third match of the series, which begins tomorrow, Thursday, at Leeds. I think one or two of them are a little bit fortunate to remain in the team, and skipper Joe Root is having a miserable time with his bat. But Steve Smith, who's carried the Aussie batting on his shoulders up to now, will be missing, still recovering from the injury he sustained at the hands of Archer. With no play due to the weather on the opening day, England, put into bat by the Aussies who had won the toss, fought their way to a total of 258 on the second. Then, with only Smith making a serious number of runs for the visitors on the third day, they finished their first innings on 250, just 8 runs behind. Cue a dramatic finish, but while more weather disruption over the weekend could have finished the contest, instead it provided for a dramatic finish on Sunday, the last day. In England's second innings, Stokes and Butler had finished Saturday's session in the evening in poor light conditions and curbing their aggressive mindships. But they held on together, did the same on Sunday, then gradually blossomed, and although Butler was eventually out, the tail wagged, enabling skipper Root to offer a declaration that did provide the opposition with a chance to go for it. Archer made sure that opportunity was quickly stuffed out, and the match finished with Australia hanging on with 4 wickets left. Highly entertaining, and when combat resumes with the third match of the series beginning in Leeds tomorrow, Thursday, both sides have everything to play for. But for the gripping state of that test match, I may have spent my Sunday afternoon at Birmingham's Alexander Stadium watching the Birmingham Grand Prix. This year, very much an opportunity for the athletes to hone their fitness and competitive edge for the World Championships to be held in Doha at the end of September. But there was not much for British fans to get excited about. A second place for Adam Jamili in the 100 metres, ditto for Dina Asher-Smith in the ladies' version, and a dramatic finish to the women's long jump where Katarina Johnson-Thompson also finished second behind her nemesis, the Belgian athlete Thiam, by a single centimetre. They'll meet head-to-head in the pentathlon in Doha. But that was about the sum total for British fans of athletics. I'm glad I stayed at home to watch the cricket. The trials for athletes to be selected for the British team in Doha are to be held this coming weekend, and you can watch the action on BBC television. Coming up in a month's time is the Rugby World Cup, taking place in Japan this time, and for the second weekend in a row, Wales and England faced each other, this time in Cardiff. Wales reversed their defeat the week before, taking this match by 13 points to 6. I was not able to watch the action as Mrs. G had diverted me elsewhere on Saturday. Good for her, by the way. I saw nothing of Scotland's humiliation in Nice, where they lost by 32-3 against France, and, by all accounts, I didn't miss a great deal. The general consensus appears to be that England's backs played like strangers to one another, and especially as the game wore on, the many changes of personnel actually on the pitch turned the match into a game of tag. What the respective coaches may have learned from this is not clear, but one thing did stand out. By winning, Wales are now officially rated as number one in world rugby standings. More warm-up games due this coming weekend. I'll finish this week's sports report with my usual update on the Speedway, where I voiced the opinion last week that the Wolverhampton team might be on an upturn in form after a generally fairly disappointing season. I even said that they could win last week's away match at King's Lynn. How wrong could I be? They were thrashed by 54-36. But then on Monday this week, all was forgiven when they travelled to race against the Bellevue Club in Manchester, on the face of it a much tougher proposition, and won by 47-43. It was a feisty occasion. One of the Bellevue riders had been held up in traffic on his way to the stadium, and the start of the match was delayed to accommodate him, causing a good deal of ire on Wolves' side. But getting their dander up was no bad thing, and a great team effort through an evening when the lead in the match kept changing was just enough in the end to bring a big win. But only one win out of these two matches has resulted in Wolves dropping from fourth to fifth in the Premiership League table, and only the top four go into the end-of-season playoffs. Wolves have a crucial home fixture on Monday evening against Poole Pirates, who have snatched fourth place. Wolves must win it, you'd think, with only three league matches left this season, and the last one is a return at Poole on the 5th of September. Meanwhile, I'll be back in 2 weeks. The Talking News will be enjoying its August bank holiday next week, so until then, it's goodbye from Brian Gall, and here's wishing all our listeners a happy and enjoyable holiday weekend.